Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter. At 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Well, incidents involving police and civilians will never cease. It's police and the two will constantly come in contact with one another. That's a given. But recently in Prince George's County, two officers were shot while attempting to serve a warrant at the wrong home in Forestville on Thursday. Nonetheless, those officers could have been killed. Subsequently, the police department has put a halt on issuing warrants until it figures out what went wrong last week. And there are still reverberations in Dallas, Texas, following the shooting of an unarmed black man by a now former Dallas police officer who entered that victim's apartment thinking it was her own. Tonight, we want to talk about those issues and how they relate to policing, rights of citizens, especially in terms of warrants in particular, and the latest initiatives of the Prince George's County Police Department. To do that, we have the man who sits at the top of that department, the Chief of Police for Prince George's County, Hank Stawinski. The phone lines are open. We'd like you to be part of our conversation. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Again, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You also can follow us on Twitter at Daily Drum WHUR. Chief Stawinski, thank you so much for joining us once again.
It is a privilege to be with you.
Let's talk a little bit about what happened on Thursday. And I know you held a press conference and you addressed it, but let's sort of go back again. Can you sort of walk us through what took place on Thursday as the two officers were trying to issue that warrant in the home in Forestville?
We had received information from a confidential informant, which is a product of our concerted outreach to the community. What we want to be able to do is resolve issues the community has where they live. And we had information that led us to believe there was an individual selling drugs in that particular community. Now, that's still part of an ongoing investigation. However, we, through our investigation, served that search warrant on what we believe to be the correct address. So it's not as though we went to the wrong door, but our investigative methods had led us to the wrong address. So we are still investigating the individual that the community had concerns about, but those officers were serving a search warrant on an address because we believed that there was an individual inside who was responsible for selling drugs in that community. And that was brought to us again by community concern. Now, inside that apartment is a gentleman and his daughter who has no reason to believe that the police would be knocking on his door. And what I said during the press conference was we were on opposite sides of a doorway and we had both drawn the wrong conclusions about who was on the other side of that doorway. He was acting to defend himself and defend his daughter. I spoke to him directly after this and had a conversation with him and said to him, you know, I apologize for the fact that our investigative methods got it wrong, and that's why I immediately imposed a moratorium on the service of search warrants. I had every search warrant that we were holding reviewed by command to ensure that we had done the appropriate amount of due diligence. We did receive a search warrant in this matter, but I wasn't satisfied that we had done enough to corroborate the address. And what I said to the public and what I'll reiterate to you this evening is that I will not allow us to move into this posture again without being absolutely certain that we are at the right address. I never again want to see us serving a search warrant on an address where an innocent man and his daughter are feeling that they are at harm. And the tragic circumstances were that he responsibly armed himself. He had a weapon. He had a trigger lock on that weapon. We were attempting to make entry. It was not a no-knock warrant, so it wasn't just a dynamic entry. We had knocked and announced ourselves and were beginning to open that door. He had armed himself. He had said to his daughter, go in the back, trying to protect her. And then when the door popped open, he fired a single time. Now, when he fired, the door swings open and he realizes there's police officers. And I spoke to him again that very morning and he was devastated by the fact that he had fired at police officers. He dropped the weapon and he began immediately saying, this is not what you think it is. Please don't hurt my daughter. My officers received significant injuries. One of the point officers received significant injuries. The other one was hit by that shotgun blast. I'm happy to report to the community that they will both make full recoveries. The one will have a slightly longer period of recovery because of the nature of the injuries. But the brave men and women who are doing this work also are in peril. And that's why I imposed the moratorium. I have since taken the moratorium off the table. And I have had conversations throughout the institution to ensure that an additional layer of due diligence is being engaged in. And I'm going to have follow-up conversations with the state's attorney, with our courts, with our judges, to ensure that this doesn't repeat itself.
How should citizens know, or how should they understand if a warrant is served, how they would know that a police officer is there submitting a warrant? Just sort of to educate the public in case a police officer knocks on their door and says they have a warrant.
It depends on the nature of the warrant. And then there's another dynamic that is concerning to me, and I've talked about this with my community before. There are people out there who will knock and announce that they are police officers, and they are not. Mm-hmm. And I believe that this would, if the gentleman believed anything at all, it was that there were people that were trying to do harm to him and his daughter. If it's a no-knock warrant, and this was not a no-knock warrant, then we aren't under any obligation to say anything because there's expected to be danger. We have reason to believe it's a dangerous person that's a history of being armed and conducting violence. So we will merely breach the door and move in what's called a dynamic entry. And we have three teams that do that, and they are some of the most highly trained and skilled people in the business. A knock warrant will require us to knock and announce, police, we have a search warrant. And then if they're not responsive to that, we can begin to breach that door. This is what occurred last Wednesday evening when this event occurred. But that said, this gentleman had no reason to believe that the police would be at his door. We do have that phenomenon where we've seen people misrepresent themselves at the police. And what I will say to my community is that we are doing our absolute due diligence to ensure going forward that this does not repeat itself. I apologize to this gentleman and his daughter. There'll be no criminal charges. I talked to the state's attorney, Ms. Alsobrooks. We agreed that that would be inappropriate in these circumstances. And I appreciate her working with me so quickly to bring resolution to this, because this gentleman was very concerned about how this would impact him. And that's why it was important to me to get to him as quickly as possible once my team had arrived at what had occurred, explain to him the mistake, apologize, and to assure him that that would be the end of the matter.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Our guest tonight is the Chief of Police for Prince George's County, Chief Hank Stawinski. Your phone lines are open. We'd like to hear from you. Your questions or comments, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Chief Stawinski, you received some pretty high praise yesterday in the Washington Post from Tom Jackman, who's covered police issues for a while, and he said what you did in an article he wrote was shocking and impressive, that less than 24 hours after this incident with the warrant, that you apologized, you put a moratorium on warrants, and that you addressed the issue from the vantage point that's not often done from police departments in terms of apologizing. Talk to me a little bit about your approach and why you took that approach and the approval that you got, at least from Mr. Jackman. And it was high praise in terms of your stance on what happened.
I appreciate Mr. Jackman stating publicly his appreciation for how I approached that. But he and I had a conversation, and my method of addressing any issue of concern to my community since my appointment as chief has not changed. I always, when we have an incident of whatever nature that I think will be of concern to my community, you'll find me within 3 hours in front of a camera explaining to the community everything that I can confirm, either forensically, with videotape, witness accounts, police officer accounts, whatever the case may be. And I don't see that as extraordinary. I appreciate Mr. Jackman's comments, but my view is that I am a public official. I have an obligation to the public to provide transparency, and I do in every instance, whatever the matter may be. My view is that that information is public information. Now, I will tell you that there are investigations where I don't provide all those details because it'll harm the investigation and thus the public or police officers, and there are certain types of information that by personnel law or what have you, HIPAA, I'm not allowed to share. But if I know it's going to be a matter of public record anyway, then my view is that I've got an obligation to inform the public, be transparent. And what I want out of that, and I've said this before, there's a huge push in the policing industry in America towards building confidence in police institutions. And I believe in that to my core. But what I know in Prince George's County, my home, we talked about that, is that that's a stepping stone. What people don't want as the end game is confidence policing. What they want is to be safe. And once you can demonstrate that you will do this work on the public's behalf in a conscientious way that protects the rights of everyone, they immediately will then say, now I have confidence. I want you to make me safe. And what I'm encouraged about in Prince George's County is the way that the men and women of this institution, particularly over the last decade, have worked in a concerted way to drive crime down year after year after year, to get results, but get them in a way that earns the confidence of the public.
202-319-7810. He is Chief Hank Stawinski of the Prince George's County Police Department. 202-319-7810. Let's go to the phone lines. We have Yvonne calling from Bowie, Maryland. Yvonne, go right ahead with your question or your comment.
Hi. Hi, Chief Stawinski. How are you?
I'm good, Yvonne. Nice to speak to you.
Nice to speak to you, too. I wanted to let you know that you have a great police department. You really do. And I want to commend you on the great job that you do every day.
Well, God bless you. That means a lot to me, and particularly acknowledging the work of the men and women out there every day.
What a wonderful job that you do. And you have a coworker, you have an employee that does outstanding, she does an outstanding job as well. She's one of the administrator, Mrs. Falana.
Oh, of course, of course.
She is a wonderful, wonderful lady. I talk to her all the time.
But let me say this. You know what? That warms my heart because, again, you're connecting with a particular person, a part of my institution, and what we want is to have those kinds of relationships with the community, with the business community, to be able to speak to a specific person and rely upon them. It means a lot to me. You're saying a lot about what we are as an institution able to accomplish vis-a-vis your relationship with her. So I, God bless you for telling me that too.
And thank you so much, Yvonne, for your comments. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about policing in particular in Prince George's County and the initiatives that the police department will be putting forward. We'll get to that. We're joined by Police Chief Hank Stawinski. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Chief, we know Prince George's County has a very unique position, being so close on the border to the nation's capital. And just in the past couple of days, they had a lot of incidents, violent incidents and deadly incidents in the district. How does the violence in particular in the district affect your policing in the county?
The nature of policing in America has changed dramatically during the course of my career. The first half of my career was before 9/11. The second half of my career after. Before 9/11, what I saw was a disconnect between policing at the local, the state, the federal level, and amongst jurisdictions. What I I have to reach back to when I was running the operations department with Diane Grooms and Chief Lanier, constantly engaged, constantly talking about these issues. And it goes on today between my deputies and the leadership in D.C. I talked to Chief Newsham. The answer to your question is, how does that violence impact Prince George's County? We run the department in real time. We don't launch initiatives over a long period of time and then come back and evaluate them. So we have reports that come out throughout the course of the day. We're constantly adjusting our resources. And when we see a problem emerging, we communicate with our peers. And that could be MPD. That could be Montgomery County. It could be Anne Arundel County. It could be any of the federal services. And then we adjust. And that is one of the ways that it has changed. The fact that we communicate and that we work collaboratively to resolve these issues on behalf of both of our communities, you see the same phenomenon in Miami-Dade. You see the same phenomenon in the Twin Cities in Minnesota. And I would say that the relationship amongst law enforcement in this particular region is closer than it's ever been. And I have to thank Gordon Johnson with the FBI in Baltimore. I have to thank Pete Newsham. I have to thank Tom Manger. I have to thank Tim Altamare. All of our federal partners, Danny Board recently went to ATF headquarters, but all of these people are individuals that I talk to throughout the course of the week, and we collaborate to ensure that our officers are safe and that we are getting ahead of issues that pose a threat to the public. And coming back to what that last caller said, you know, we are down another 11.5% in crime in Prince George's County again this year. 7 years of reductions in violent crime back to back to back. And that comes back to the relationship with the community. And I can't say enough about how that has supported our efforts, because that information about individuals, bad actors, speaking to us reflects the trust they have, and then our ability to resolve those issues is leading to our ability to contend with these issues.
We have to take a break, but I do want to talk about, on the other side, some of the initiatives that you're moving forward with the County Police Department. I also want to get your thoughts on the shooting in Dallas and what it means and how it possibly can be avoided and how you think something like that can happen. He is Chief Hank Stawinski, the chief of the Prince George's County Police Department. If you're on the phone line, stay right there. We will continue. We will get to you, Maxine and Mario. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. The phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. The original Quiet Storm with Wes Hall filling in for Jeff Brown is next on 96.3 WHUR.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Tonight, our Insight segment focuses on policing in Prince George's County, some of the issues that they are dealing with, some of the initiatives that the County Police Department is putting forward. Joining us for that conversation is Chief of Police for the County, Hank Stawinski. The phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. The chief is here to take your calls. He will listen to your comments, your questions, your complaints, your concerns. He says he is open to all of it. So the phone lines are open, and he is here for you. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Chief Stawinski, when we went to break, I had mentioned that I wanted to come back to talk about some of the initiatives that the county is moving forward in terms of the police department. But I also want to hit a couple of things that are in the news, and this issue in Dallas, right? The police officer that she says she mistakenly went into an apartment that she thought was hers in the same complex, but it was another gentleman's. She shot and killed the young man. She has since been fired. When you see an incident like that, right, the police department, as large as Dallas, and as you mentioned, the size of Prince George's County, number one, what are you thinking? And without being intimately involved in that issue, how does something like that happen? I know it's a two-pronged question.
So I look across the nation on a daily basis at events involving police, community, these very kinds of circumstances. I can't speak to how something like that might happen. What I can do is look at the elements of an event like that or another event that might have an implication for us in Prince George's County. And that's why we do a lot of due diligence around training to ensure that our officers are in the best possible position to deal with an event, to ensure that they can do that in a way that defends themselves and protects the public at the same time. And that's the benefit of organizations like the Police Executive Research Forum or the IACP, and they're providing that information on the national events in policing so that we can look at that and use that as a template to ensure that we're cognizant of issues that might arise. You know, the law is changing in Maryland with respect to people involved in domestic violence situations and firearms. The laws are changing around marijuana, a host of issues. And so that event and other events are all things that we look at on a daily basis again to inform our decision making and to inform policy and training in order to try to prevent those things from happening.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Our guest tonight, Chief of Police for Prince George's County, Hank Stawinski. Let's go back to the phone lines, and Mario is calling from Maryland with a question or concern. Go right ahead, Mario.
Mr. Stawinski, I want to first applaud you for reaching out to that victim from the search warrant and apologizing to him.
Thank you, Mario.
I think that was very noble of you for what you did. But I also have a two-part question.
Okay.
My first question is, with the Prince George's County Police Department falling under the Department of Justice issue, me being a part of the community that I'm a part of, we have certain issues. And one of the issues is, one, since you've been in office, it's been an issue on race on your police department. And the second part of that is, we found out some information in reference to that since you've been in office, all the people you have terminated from your police department have either been black or brown. And if you can speak on that and clarify that up for us, I think that'll help us out a whole lot.
So when I took office almost 3 years ago, I was aware of some concerns within the membership of the institution around race and around promotion, around discipline. And so I did a couple of things. The first thing was I worked with our FOP so that we would publish anonymously, but publish all of the results of discipline within the department. There was a concern that people were being disciplined differently. And I wanted to be as completely transparent as possible. Now, one of your concerns, Mario, has to do with personnel law. So I can't speak directly about your information regarding the people I've terminated. What I will say is that I have terminated a number of individuals for cause. Some of those have been reviewed by the courts at this point, and all of those terminations have been upheld. The information you're providing is not completely accurate, but personnel law forbids me from providing additional information to the public. That's one of the things that I'd like to be able to do, is talk more transparently about that. The other thing I did is I convened a panel on promotions, discipline, and practices. And again, this is before the DOJ announced their, and what it is an inquiry into employment practices. And I convened that ahead of the DOJ announcing their inquiry. And the point of that was to look at those issues. I appointed people from outside the department, elected officials within the county, professors from the University of Maryland. The FOP appointed a number of representatives as a panel to hear those concerns, because what I want is resolution. What I don't want is for people to continue to perceive these things and not be able to say, okay, the facts concerning Officer X or Officer Y are thus, and yes, there was a problem, or no, there was not a problem, and to deal with them on a fact basis and to resolve those issues. Because what I can't have, I have extraordinarily high expectations of the men and women who do this job in Prince George's County. They know that. What I won't tolerate is a concern on their part that they aren't welcome and accepted in their home, and that's the institution. And knowing what I expect from them, the notion that they feel that that behavior is acceptable or it's condoned or it's going on at all is unacceptable to me. Again, I'm not from someplace else. I'm from Prince George's County. The results that we are producing, I'm very proud of. It's an extraordinarily high-performing institution. But those are the things I did before DOJ came. And when DOJ did come, I immediately released to them, unredacted, all of the information that they asked for. And I handled that, to be honest, going back to your comments about Mr. Jackman, in the same way I handled that event from last week. You've asked for the following pieces of information. Here's everything that you've asked for. We also took a step a couple of years ago to appoint an independent inspector general that I can't fire to have portfolio to look into any issue. And in the wake of the DOJ consent decree and MOA from 2000s, we went to DOJ once that individual Carlos Acosta was appointed and said, if at any point in the future you want anything from us, you ask us what it is, we'll bring it to you unredacted, no further questions asked. So I am awaiting the outcome of DOJ's inquiry, and whatever they identify as a problem, we will address head on, as we've addressed every other issue. But I want to be clear, and I appreciate your question, Mario, but I was cognizant of those issues when I was appointed. I took the steps that I articulated immediately upon being appointed before DOJ announced this. And I look forward to resolving and bringing to resolution those concerns if DOJ should come back and find something with respect to our employment practices that is inappropriate.
Thank you so much, Mario, for your question. Chief, you've mentioned a couple of times when we talked off air that you're a native of the area of Prince George's County. So you've seen the changes that have happened in the county. We all know the demographic shifts in the county in our lifetime. I grew up in the county myself. Do you find that you – are there any special challenges for you being a white chief of police in a heavily predominantly black jurisdiction? Have you found any challenges because of that?
So I'm Hank, and I grew up in Prince George's County, and I greet and address everyone I meet, and I meet everybody as an individual. And I have been warmly received, and the call from earlier this evening is just one example of that. Do people have concerns? Yes. Are we in a highly polarized and charged environment in America right now around race? I acknowledge that fully. And I acknowledge that people can have concerns about policing and policing practices. That's why I've made a concerted effort, not just to have my institution reflect my community, the leadership of my institution reflect my community, but also to provide information immediately. The three-hour rule is what I'm committed to, so that if there are concerns about policing and they incorporate issues of race or class or gender or whatever the case may be, that I can address them head on and say, this is what I know, with the provision that if that turns out to be incorrect, I will come back to you and I'll correct the record. I believe at the end of the day, people want to be safe. And if you are earnest in that commitment, if you demonstrate your good faith, if you provide people information and you're responsive, I don't see myself the way you describe me. I see myself as Hank. I'm not from someplace else. And I'm here to do my level best to make my home safe.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. He is Hank Stawinski. He is our guest tonight, and he is the chief of police for Prince George's County. We'll go back to the phone lines. Let's go to Maxine calling from Laurel. Go right ahead, Maxine.
Good evening, Chief. First of all, thank you for all that you do, and thank you for the men and women of the Prince George's police force. I live in Laurel, and I have a question. I live near the Laurel Regional Hospital, and I believe their hospital has a psych ward. And we've had a few instances, and very recently, where individuals have escaped and come into the community. And luckily for us, have not been a threat. But I'm wondering what can be done either with Laurel Police or Prince George's County Police in conjunction with the hospital to improve security.
So I, by coincidence, am looking forward to a meeting next week with leadership of the Prince George's Hospital system, and I'll bring that concern up as part of that meeting. I'm not familiar with the particular incidents of which you're speaking, but I will say this. I value very much the fact that some of our hospitals in Prince George's County have the capacity to deal with people who are afflicted with a mental illness. One of the things that we worked hard to do as a police institution is not criminalize mental illness. So we're looking to provide people with resources and outlets to deal with those issues as opposed to pushing them into the criminal justice system. Now, if we're finding holes in that system and you've brought one to my attention, I want to make a note here that I can address. I certainly will. And I will say this, the Laurel Police Department, very competent, very effective institution. I'll have a conversation with that chief as well. But I also want to emphasize to the community that how much I appreciate the capacity of our mental health providers in the county and our hospitals. Because, again, when we encounter those individuals in crisis, we have capacity through our mobile crisis teams. We have capacity through our training. But licensed professionals able to help those individuals and their families, and the turmoil it creates in those families is terrible. So there's a balance there, and I will take your concern forward. I've made a note of it here, and I will address it in the future if that's fair.
Sure. Thank you so much, Maxine. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Again, our guest is Police Chief Hank Stawinski, Chief of Police for Prince George's County. We are talking all of the issues that you are concerned about, so your questions, concerns, comments, we'd like to hear from them. 202-319-7810. Chief, you want to make a comment?
You had mentioned something earlier, and I'd like to talk for just a quick second about guns mm-hmm. and the important work that our ATF is doing with our institution. I'm privileged to say that the DOJ is giving us an award for a collaboration between our department and the ATF. But our officers are taking handguns off the street daily. and doing that in a way that's making our community safe. They're doing that work, and they're reducing the violence. I have right here, just so you know, contact shootings in our county are down by another 13% this year over last year. Homicides are down by 30%. Violent crime is down by another 14%. But the collaboration post 9/11 that we were speaking about throughout the region, again, it's the William French Smith Award that members of my institution are going to receive. But that's one of the things that I'd like to point out to our community. We are not trying to deal with this alone. So I will, on Maxine's behalf, have a conversation with Laurel. And I want to appreciate all of our partners throughout the region, because those collaborations are getting results on the street. And I say this all the time, but I want my community to know this. These statistics, right, they're numbers. I work in an industry that expresses success through mathematics, but they're people. And it's two very important constituencies to me. The first is and they're co-equal, is the public, who can have confidence that these officers are out here doing this work effectively. Again, you're looking at large reductions in homicide, large reductions in robbery. But the other half of that are those officers. And when I see these numbers going down, what that means to me is there's less opportunity for one of our officers to be in a violent confrontation, one of our officers to be harmed. And I say all of that to say this. We've had some critical incidents here. We've lost officers just this year. Mujahid Ramzadeen is stemming from a domestic violence incident. I'm appealing to my community, always, 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 please provide us with that information. Continue to reach out. Continue to be nosy about what your kids are looking at on social media. Call about those neighbors you have a concern about, because what we want to do is prevent the bad thing from happening.
He is Chief Hank Stawinski of the Prince George's County Police Department, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is the Insight segment on the Daily Drum. He is open to your questions and your comments. We still have some time left, 202-319-7810. We're going to continue this conversation with Chief Stawinski right after this. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. Tonight, our focus is on the police department in Prince George's County, issues and initiatives. We're joined in studio tonight by the Chief of Police, Hank Stawinski. The phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Your questions and comments are welcome. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Eric is calling from Fort Washington. Go right ahead, Eric.
Yes, thank you very much, 96.3. How are you, Police Chief Stawinski? You know who I am. I am Eric Payne, Society Gone Unchecked, the One Man Army, okay, retired Army veteran. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, Eric. I don't think we speak since we last met at the MGM not too long ago.
Yes, sir. I'm Eric. Yes, sir. I'm Eric Payne. I've been at your location on August the 22nd, Wednesday, August 22nd, 2018. And I was trying to meet with your internal affairs, Major Mills, but ended up or Miss Swan, your secretary, and send my love to her. Very nice lady. I appreciate what all your good officers out here doing in Prince George's County, number one, sir. That I'm sure that the good ones out here to serve and protect our communities. However, at any rate, that I have been mentioning your police department's number four, which I'm in number four, is parking lot right now. Only that I wanted to pull over and speak to you. But once again, thank you for serving and protecting, and even having the courage to put on that uniform as a police chief and take on the duty and responsibility there. At any rate, that I have been reporting District 4, which you've had four police commanders down there, Officer Garrett, Reeves, you also had Riley, and then Major Smith, who I've never met. Sir.
Yeah, Eric, I want to give the chief a chance to get to your question. So if you can get right to it and address your question to the chief.
Calling about police brutality, public corruption, I've been reporting to you, as well as your internal affairs, Major Mills, State Attorney Angelo Sobrillo, Governor Hogan, County Executive Baker, your police oversight panel to include your Attorney General, Prince George's County, Chief Investigator Harper of the State's Attorney Office, Carol Kadera, all of the above, sir. I'm going to keep it professional, okay, that I would like the opportunity after 3 years, sir, and calling you, sir, out of respect, and once again thanking your officers, but that, there's a lot of police brutality, public corruption, white supremacy among your ranks, okay, that I'm a very nice man, and I don't drink, smoke.
All right, I'm going to let Eric, thank you so much. I'm going to let the chief sort of address that. He obviously has a concern that he believes there's corruption. He believes there's racism within the department. you have some of those out there, folks like Eric, who believe that there's maybe there's a historical bent to that also from what the police department I know for years has tried to overcome. Can you address that, Chief?
Look, I'm going to say this. This institution, like any institution, has a history that has both positive and negative aspects to it. We've worked diligently to address those issues with our community. Coming out of the DOJ process was a positive step forward for us, and then working hard to have relationships with the community. What I will say to you, and I will say to my community, and they know this about me. Again, last week was just another example. When I have a specific allegation that I can investigate, I draw conclusions. And as was said, I believe his name was Mario, I've terminated people for not representing this institution or policing in the proper light. I've lauded people for heroic actions, and I do all of those things based on facts. So I can't respond to a feeling or a sense, but what I can do is assure this community that when a specific allegation is made, it will be thoroughly investigated. We do have that independent inspector general, and I'm interviewing to hire a new inspector general now. And then we rely on our partners at the state's attorney's office or the office of the state prosecutor or our federal partners to be another set of eyes to look at those issues. Nothing will go unaddressed, but at the same time, the allegations have to be specific. They have to be something that we can investigate so that I can get answers and bring resolution.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Eric, thank you for your call. He is Chief Hank Stawinski. He is joining us tonight. 202-319-7810, Chief Hank Stawinski, Chief of Police for the Prince George's County Police Department. Chief, on Thursday, CASA will be holding a meeting. This is a community group that deals with issues very particular to the Hispanic community. And one of their concerns is they are saying that they are there to discuss police mistrust. In particular, they note that the county police officials have repeatedly said there is no formal cooperation between the police department and the federal agency charged with immigration enforcement, but in the community, fear is spreading. They use one particular incident, gentleman, they don't use his actual name, but say they were stopped by Prince George's police marked car. He was arriving at work a couple of months ago. Two more unmarked vehicles came upon the stop, and ICE agents emerged from their cars. So that's an example that they give. How could you address this mistrust that many of those, or at least I don't want to say many, but those in the Hispanic community have?
So last Monday we had a police-involved shooting, and one of the people I called was Gustavo at CASA to ensure that they had the accurate information. I received calls infrequently, more a few years ago, from elected officials in the county and informal leaders within those communities about just the incident that you spoke about. And the challenge there is it's months ago or it's a set of circumstances that are difficult to get to the basis of. The one that I'll offer you was this notion that we had been stopping and then removing school children from a bus and then helping them to be deported. We do not have ICE agents in our police cars enforcing immigration law. We do work with our federal partners across the whole federal spectrum when it comes to gang members, people who engage in homicide, human trafficking. These are issues that we can't not turn a blind eye to, and we need to collaborate at every level of law enforcement to get results for this community. But the Prince George's County Police Department does not enforce immigration law. We do not have any initiatives with those federal authorities. And what I'll say is every time I'm called by representatives of CASA or any elected official, and they say, Hank, this is what we're having right now, I immediately find out what's happening. I find out that we're serving a search warrant on a brothel, and I say, that's what we're doing. You were taking children off of this bus and deporting them. No, there was a bus accident, and these are the officers who responded. It was a property damage only accident, and no children were injured. And again, this is the key for me, and this is why transparency matters to Hank Stawinski. You bring me a specific circumstance you're concerned about, I'll get to the bottom of it, and I'll give you the facts. What I ask CASA to do is to be a reliable partner in this so that when they bring that concern forward and I say, no, on September 22nd or on August 4th or on October 10th, this is what we saw. I say, this is what occurred and here are the records, and then help me to communicate that, because we've worked hard to have a relationship with the Latino community, understanding that they come from portions of the world where mistrust of policing is a different set of circumstances than even here in America, right? I want them to be safe. I want every member of my community to be safe and have confidence in policing, wherever you're from, whatever your status might be. And what I can't have, and I don't worry about the things I know, right? These results speak for themselves. The men and women of this department get results. What I worry about are things I don't know about. And that's why I've put so much time and effort. Jen Donlan actually has an officer attached to our media relations component right now doing broadcasts on Spanish language channels, reaching out. I had my chief on the go event where I reach out to that community, and I do it across the whole county, at CASA's headquarters a few months ago. And so I want them to have confidence, and I want them to tell us what's happening. I want them to understand that if you've been victimized by someone in committing a crime, your immigration status means nothing to me, but I need to know that information because what I need to do is apprehend the bad actor and make that community safe. That's what I'm committed to. That's what I will say in response to that. And they know that I'm a reliable partner in that effort.
Were you or was the police department invited to this meeting on Thursday?
So this is the first I'm hearing of this, but I do know that we had had conversations with Gustavo and the organization just last Monday. And it's been Monday we had that event. Wednesday we had the warrant. I was actually working on something with the major city chiefs in Chicago during the end of the week, came back. And then tragically, we've lost an officer to a heart attack over the weekend. So it's probably on my desk, and I just haven't had the opportunity to get to it.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We still have a few moments left. Chief, I wanted to ask you about 5 months ago, there was an issue where there was a camera, a hidden camera, in the principal's office in the county high school. Where is that investigation? Where does that stand now?
So going back to collaboration, we went to our partners at the FBI because we wanted to have all of the recording on that device reviewed to ensure there was no misconduct there. We are concluding our investigation. I just received an update on that from my deputy chief of investigations, and in the next 2 weeks, we should have resolution to it. It's an archaic system, so it's taken a long time to go through all that digital data, which is not digital data as we think of it today. But I have briefed the superintendent, Monica Goldston, on this event, and we have set up a meeting to have another conversation about that, so that we can provide her with all of the facts of that circumstance. And other than that, I'm going to reserve the right to say to my community, when I have the facts on that, I will come forward and I'll provide all those facts. What I'm asking for on this circumstance, and I've talked about it publicly before, is patience, because again, I don't want to draw any conclusions until we've gone through all of that data. No one is in harm now, and that's the key to me with this one, but we should have it concluded probably another 2 weeks is what the deputy chief told me.
Before we leave here, we've mentioned a few times, and you've mentioned a few times, your background and being a Prince George's County native, which is not sort of odd for a police chief maybe to be the chief of his hometown or his home jurisdiction. But in knowing that, in our last 30, 35 seconds, how has that informed your leadership role as police chief in the county that you grew up in?
I love my home. I made a deliberate choice to come back to my home. I didn't want to police anywhere else. And what it does for me is I see people, friends and neighbors. I'm not saying that you can't go into a community that you didn't grow up in and lead and police, but I've never seen myself the way that some have tried to define me. I'm working to make my home a better place, and I'm so proud of Prince George's County. What people don't realize is that we have so much potential that we're fulfilling. And that was always the question with Prince George's County. What I see is a far brighter future, a far safer future. And I'm so proud of the men and women who do this work. And I'm proud of my community and the way that they've wrapped their arms around the men and women of this institution. When we lost Mujahid Rapids, when we lost Ja'Kai Colson, God bless you. I love you. I wouldn't do anything else. I wouldn't do it anywhere else. But I am so proud of Prince George's County.
He is the chief of police for Prince George's County, Hank Stawinski. Thank you so much, Chief, for joining us this hour. That is the Daily Drum on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Tuesday, September 25th. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Up next, The Connection with Lorna Newton.